Hey, Mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well Nourished Mama podcast. I am coming to you from my workroom that also doubles as the guest room and the storage room and the miscellaneous room. And I'm trying to just seclude myself while the kids are sleeping. Today's episode is going to be a little different. First, it's not scripted, which I haven't done in a very long time. So I actually don't know what I'm going to say or how long this episode is going to be, but I was thinking about what I wanted to say to you this week. And instead of talking about how to feel better when you're pregnant or how to have a better milk supply or why you should be looking at the sun every day or just, I don't know, all the things that we've been talking about recently, I just felt disingenuine. I hope that's a word. Tyler says it's a word. I just didn't feel very genuine because if I'm being totally honest, I've been struggling for the last little bit. And I just didn't feel like I could show up and talk about something objectively when I had so much going on inside of me. And so I don't know if today's episode is more for myself, like reminding myself of things that are true, or maybe this is going to be an episode for you and you come back and listen to it when you're having a hard day as a mom. But I just kind of wanted to just say what's on my mind in the hopes that I'm not the only one going through this. And if you feel the same way, you know that you are not alone in how you feel. Motherhood is just a lot. And I feel like if we can take a step back and recognize that we shouldn't feel guilty for how we feel, and we shouldn't convince ourselves that we're alone in how we feel, that our journey would be so much easier. So today's episode is my attempt to do that for the both of us. It's going to be very raw, very real, very vulnerable. And all that I have to go off of is a couple notes that I jotted down on my phone at 3 a.m. the other day when I was feeding Hannah and I was like half asleep. So yeah, hopefully you find something that makes you feel better from today's episode. And I'm hoping that I'm going to feel a little bit better after today's episode too. So I don't know exactly what we're going to be talking about, but let's jump in. Hey mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of two and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this. You're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. You're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life. Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? how I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum. If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6 week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list. If I'm being honest, the part that I've been struggling with the most this time around, this being my second postpartum experience, honestly, as much as it pains me to say, it's been my body image. And I know that I have shared Instagram reels and TikToks and podcast episodes about loving yourself through all the changes and remembering all the amazing things your body has done for you. And sometimes that's just not enough to make you feel better. And that's not how it's been for me. I've still been struggling with my body image and just wanting to feel proud of myself because I don't know. I guess I just expected my body to be in a different place than it is right now. At the time of this recording, I am almost 5 months postpartum. And I feel like I look exactly the same as I was at 6 weeks postpartum. Granted, I did have a surgery mixed in there. You'll be hearing an episode about that shortly. So not only did I get pregnant, give birth, and then have to recover from that, but I also had hernia surgery mixed into there. And so my body's been through a lot in the last year, and I recognize that. But I think something that's been frustrating for me is feeling like I'm doing all the right things and I'm still not seeing the progress that I want. And I know that progress takes time, but I know that I have been doing my absolute best and doing all the things that I should, and I'm not seeing progress. And that's frustrating to me. I want to feel beautiful. I want to feel sexy. I want to feel like myself again. Heck, I want to fit into clothes that I like. I don't care what size my jeans are. I just want to be able to wear a pair of jeans and not feel uncomfortable. I went out and I bought new pairs of jeans because that's what you're supposed to do, right? You don't squeeze into the ones that don't fit. You go buy new jeans. I've preached about that. So I went and I bought myself new jeans. I could not find a pair of jeans that fit me. If they fit my legs and my bum, they didn't fit my waist. And if they fit my waist, they didn't fit my legs. Or if they fit everywhere, they just looked funny on me and I just didn't like how they looked. And so I gave up with jeans. I'm not wearing jeans right now. They just frustrate me too much. So that's really frustrating that I just can't enjoy wearing clothes. And I'm literally only wearing baggy clothes at this point. Like, I don't feel comfortable in anything that is tight on my arms or my stomach. Leggings are okay because that's more for comfort. Still don't love how my body looks, but I will put on a pair of leggings because that's as much comfort as I want is a pair of leggings. So I'm just not loving the clothes. I'm not liking how clothes fit on me. My body just isn't recovering the way that I expected it to. And this time around, I know more about how to take care of my body. I know more about how to recover and come out on the other side with two thumbs up. And it's still just not going the way that I want. And that is so frustrating to me. I'm also resentful that my body is not healing like other women's bodies. And again, I know that's stupid, but that's how I feel. I look at other women who had stomachs just as big as mine when they were full-term pregnancy, and they, from what I can tell, don't have any loose skin flopping around. They don't have any bunched up, wrinkly skin. Their stomach is flat. You can see their abs. And they're the same part postpartum. That doesn't make sense. They're the same length into postpartum as I am. They're right around the same time as I am. And so I'm resentful that like they looked like I did And now when we're at the same place postpartum, I don't look like they do. And that's frustrating, especially because I'm the one that knows how to do everything. Ugh, I know it's all stupid when I vocalize it out loud, but this is how I feel. And I feel like sometimes we just need to accept how we feel, even though we know it's silly or it's not fair to feel that way. I was talking to my therapist yesterday. I went back to therapy for a multitude of reasons. But I was talking to my therapist yesterday and she looked at me and she's like, you need to work on acceptance. She's like, instead of shaming yourself for how you feel or telling yourself that how you feel is silly or whatever, you just need to practice accepting how you feel. That doesn't mean that you stay there forever, but if you can't accept how you feel, you can't move through your feelings. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. I need to be better about that. And she brought up a good point. And I've heard this from, I don't know if you know who Dr. Becky at Good Insight is, but she is a psychologist who specializes in parenting. And she has like changed my life when it comes to parenting. But she was talking about how we can't teach our kids how to regulate an emotion that they're not allowed to feel. And that hits me so hard every time I hear it. And so I'm trying to remind myself that if I don't accept how I feel, even though it seems silly, I can't regulate that emotion and I can't overcome that feeling or get to a place that I feel more comfortable in. So I recognize that being resentful isn't fair to myself. I recognize that putting a timeline on my postpartum body isn't realistic or fair to myself, but that's how I feel. So I'm trying to accept that and then learn how to live with that and move through it. And that's something else that I want to touch on is when we feel these things, especially during motherhood, when our body is changing all the time. I learned this from Jenna Kutcher. She's a marketing expert on Instagram. I learned this from Jenna Kutcher. She said, the goal of grief, or in this case, I would say negative emotion, isn't to get over it or move around it. It's to move through it and bring it with you. The goal isn't to just like make it disappear and pretend that it was never there. It's gonna leave a scar. It's gonna leave a mark. It's a part of your journey and it's a part of who you are and it's gonna stay with you. But the goal is that you learn how to live with it. You learn how to live with the scar. You learn how to look at the scar in the mirror. In this case, I guess it would be both literally and metaphorically. But the idea that I'm not trying to pretend that my emotions and my frustrations don't exist, but rather bring them with me as I try and move forward through this experience. A couple other things I've been struggling with. I've been struggling with the fact that this is the most sedentary I've been since my mission. I was a missionary for my church when I was 19 and 20, and I didn't go to the gym at all. I didn't exercise for an entire 18 months. This is the most sedentary I've been since then. That was 7 years ago. That was a long time ago. And if I'm being honest, I have deliberately chosen to not be strength training or going through my normal exercise routine because I'm struggling with eating and drinking enough during the day. And if I can't eat and drink enough when I'm not exercising, I definitely won't be able to do it when I'm exercising until I can figure it out just like at my baseline. And so I've chosen to take a step back from exercise because I'm really struggling just to eat enough. And I know that that's the right choice for my body, but it's really, really hard to not be exercising like I want to or like I'm used to and to watch my body change because of that. I look at pictures and videos of me when I was 9 months pregnant and I have more muscle and less body fat when I was 9 months pregnant than I do now at 5 months postpartum. And that's really hard to look at for me. So trying to accept that I'm just in a phase right now where exercise is not the best choice for my body, and wishing that it was different is really hard for me. And I think the last thing I want to touch on is that I didn't expect to mourn again. And when I say mourn, I mean, there's this transition that women go through when they first become moms. After you have your first baby, there's this mental and emotional transition that you go through where your life is permanently changed forever. And you have to learn who your new self is in this new phase of life with this tiny little human, where now you are not the number one priority anymore. Your partner is not your number one priority anymore. It's your children. And there's this huge transformation that we have to go through to rediscover ourselves as moms and kind of like find the new normal. It's not about going back to how you used to be and just saying, okay, now that I've had my kid, I can go back to X, Y, Z. I can go back to being like this or doing this. It's about, now that I've had my kid, I need to figure out who I am with my kid and who Brooke is as a mom, because that is part of my identity. And I went through that transition. It took me longer than I expected, but I went through that transition of, okay, I am a mom, but I'm also an individual. I'm also Brooke, and these are my hobbies. These are the things that make me happy. This is how I find joy outside of being a mom. I went through that transition, and I honestly thought that I only had to do that once. And I have now learned the hard way that you basically have to do that after each baby arrives. You have to rediscover yourself after each baby arrives, because the dynamic is different. And, you know, you got into a rhythm with your first baby of, this is when their nap time is. This is what makes them happy. This is what they eat for lunch. This is when we go to the gym. These are the friends that we play with. This is how I find time with my partner despite having a child, like all those things. You get into this rhythm, and then all of a sudden you have another baby, and like, you have to find a new rhythm again. And it's really jostling, and you're like, okay, I know there's two kids, I'm spread more thin, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't realize that I was going to have to rediscover Brooke after my second baby. And that's been really jostling for me, because I feel like I've lost myself again. I don't know how to find time for myself. I don't really know what makes me happy. I feel like I have even less time to work and have hobbies than I did before. And it's very emotionally and mentally overwhelming to be like, wait, I don't know who Brooke is anymore. And I've just been trying to work through that transition. And all of this together, my body image, you know, being resentful about other things, trying to rediscover myself again, it's been weighing heavy on me, and it's been making it really hard for me to show up in my business, which makes me so sad, because I love what I do. And if I had it my way, I would be working 40 hours a week, because I truly love my job and my career. So it's just been really hard for me to show up in the way that I want to. And I've had to really dial back on work and put a whole lot of projects that I'm really passionate about to the side, so that I can still show up and still be a part of my business, but it's just not as much as I used to be. So I guess, there's just so much. I have so many other bullet points on my list where I was just brain dumping what's frustrating me and why I'm struggling so much. And I don't think I want to bore you with all of that. And I don't want this episode to be, see, this is why motherhood sucks. See, this is why we don't have kids. I don't want it to be like that, because I don't believe that. I don't believe that motherhood sucks. I don't believe that all of these hard things that we go through are reasons and evidence to say, see, this is why people don't have kids. It's just a part of the journey. And I will be the very first to tell you, I would not give up my kids for anything. I really do genuinely love being a mom. And I love my kids. And if you actually gave me the option of, would you get your old body back if that meant giving up your kids, I would say hell no. Like, there's no way in the world that I would ever trade any of these things I'm complaining about for my kids. So I want to make that very clear, that it's okay to live both realities. I feel like we are often told that it has to be an or situation where you can either be happy or you can be sad. You can love your kids or you can be frustrated. I don't believe that motherhood is an or situation. I believe it's an and situation. I can love my kids and mourn my body. I can love being a mom and be frustrated that I don't get to show up in my business the way that I want to. I can love my kids and want alone time and want to be a person. So one of the things I really, really, really am trying to remind myself, and I want you to know that I believe with all my heart, is that the whole point is that we learn how to create an and scenario and be comfortable with that. We shouldn't feel guilty for having kids and frustration. We shouldn't feel guilty for being a mom and mourning our single life or the life before kids, because it's something that we gave up. We sacrifice a lot. And mourning and being frustrated doesn't mean that we don't care and appreciate and love our kids. It just means that we're human and we're not just a mom. We are also an individual human being. We are also a woman that has feelings and hobbies and desires and goals and dreams. And it's finding a way to allow both of those to exist at the same time. I feel like a trap that we get into is feeling like we have to be all mom and that's it. And if that's your reality and that's what makes you happy, I'm not shaming that. That is amazing for you. I love that for you. But I personally think that it shouldn't be 100% mom. It shouldn't be 100% kids all the time. We deserve to take up space. We deserve to be happy in our own way, not just as a result of being a mom. And so the other half of this list, of this note that I made on my phone, is things that I love because I have become a mom. Because I didn't want this whole episode to just be Debbie Downer, boo-hoo, I'm having a hard time, listen to me rant. I also wanted to leave you with a positive note of, guess what? There actually are a million things that are so great about my situation. And this is also my effort to remember, yes, you are frustrated about your body. Yes, you are mourning your body and your lack of alone time and your lack of flexibility to do what makes you happy. But here's why it's worth it, I guess. This is the part of the note section on my phone of, but this is why it's worth it. And this is why you are putting in the effort to move through your frustration and mourning. I hope that makes sense. This is my effort to move through this and recognize what's amazing. So I'm just going to read the bullet points on my phone. I enjoy things a bit more the second time around postpartum because I'm not surprised. And I didn't appreciate that until I actually lived it. I remember just being so anxious and on edge all the time after my first baby because I'd never had a baby before. I've never raised a human being before. I didn't know what was normal. I didn't know what was good. I didn't know what was on time. And it was just so overwhelming to me. But now that I get to have another baby start from scratch, I know the milestones to expect. I know what the certain cries mean. I know what wake windows are, and I know how to coordinate schedules, and I know when to size up in diapers and like all these other things. I truly enjoy motherhood a little bit more this time around because it's not all new, because I kind of know what to expect. Yes, it's a new individual human being and things are a little bit different, but like the basic flow of raising a human isn't a surprise anymore. And that's very comforting to me. And it's allowed me to show up better as a mom and be more present and less anxious because I'm not surprised all the time, if that makes sense. Another thing, I'm a little bit more forgiving and tolerant of myself because I've done this before. I'm like, okay, it's not your first rodeo. You figured it out last time. You can figure it out this time, but this time you have more knowledge and experience and resources to make it happen. And that's a positive for me. I guess I should have mentioned, I'm focusing more about my second postpartum experience. A lot of what I'm talking about today is through the lens of, this is my second postpartum. This is my second baby. This is my second time. You can still feel all of these things as a first-time mom or a fifth-time mom, but I'm coming through the lens of, this is what I feel is unique through the second experience, if that makes sense. Okay, moving on with the list. I'm more prepared for the mundane because I've done it before, right? I know that my life is changing diapers and nursing and changing my clothes because I get poop and pee and spit up on my clothes. And I'm just like more mentally prepared for just the, yep, we wake up, we feed, we change diapers, we do this, it's nap time. It doesn't feel so mundane anymore because I know that that's just how it goes. And so I just kind of roll with it this time around instead of being like, oh my gosh, wait, are you serious? This is all it is when they're little. It's a little bit better this time around. I have some tricks up my sleeve because I've done it before. I'm like, oh, I remember doing this with Hiram and that helped Hiram, my first baby, during this time. And so I wonder if it's going to work for Hannah. And so I feel more capable of tackling problems and unique situations because I've had experience with another baby. I'm not swimming in piles of unused baby items because I know what I do and don't need. That was one of the most frustrating things about being a brand new mom, first time mom, is that I put all this stuff on my registry and we had all this crap in our tiny little apartment and we didn't use most of it. And I was like, why did people tell me that we needed this stuff? And so now this time around, we've actually like purged a whole bunch. We've gotten rid of a bunch of stuff. And I know that really babies aren't as complicated as the baby industry makes it out to be. And so I just don't feel like we have as much crap laying around. And that's awesome. Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes. I anticipate the hard because I know the signs of the hard. So in parentheses, I have sleep regressions, sizing up diapers, colic, crying. I'm anticipating it and I know what to look for. And so it doesn't feel as hard. And I'm like, okay, Hannah is 3 months old. She is probably going to be coming up on a sleep regression, maybe her first tooth, because Hiram got his first two teeth when he was 4 months old. I actually don't know if that's early or not, but that's how it was for Hiram. So when Hannah was about three and a half months, I was like gearing up for, okay, if she all of a sudden becomes clingy, if she's all of a sudden cluster feeding, if she's crying for no reason, if her sleep schedule is thrown off, it's probably because she's either going through a sleep regression or she's teething or both. And so I was just like more mentally prepared. And so now that we are going through it, she's 4 and a half months old and we're going through it, I'm not as worn out physically, mentally, emotionally, because I've been preparing for it and I knew what to expect. I have a better idea of what it takes to take care of myself. I recognize, okay, well, this is how much work little kids are. And this is what worked for me last time. This is how I had to adapt my schedule and my kids' schedule to make sure that I had time for myself. These are the conversations that I have to have with my husband to make sure that I'm taken care of and my needs are met. I just have a better idea of how to make sure that I am still a priority in the equation of our family. The joy of seeing my baby become a sibling is just unmatched. It was so amazing to see my baby, Hiram, all of a sudden grow up overnight and become an older brother. Granted, he didn't love Hannah right away, but he has definitely grown into being an older brother. And it is so beautiful to just be like, I created this human and he's my baby. And now I have another human and they're together. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so beautiful. And I think it's extra precious because Hiram is still so little. He was only 2 and a bit years old when Hannah was born. So he's still pretty young. He's learning to communicate. He's learning to play with toys. And heck, he's not even potty trained yet. So like, he's still a baby. But yeah, just seeing both of my kids together was just so amazing. And then also realizing how much Hiram has grown up. Like, oh my gosh, he's still a little kid, but he's not my baby anymore because now I have a baby baby. And you're like, oh my gosh, it just kind of like throws you for a loop. And then you're like, oh, my baby's growing up and then he's going to leave the house and get married. And then you go down that whole spiral. You have to like check back in and be like, he's only two. It's fine. Anyway, it's a very beautiful experience. Two more things on my list. The relief that comes when your oldest starts to actually like the baby. This actually came a little bit sooner than I was expecting, but Hiram has gotten to the point where he will actually initiate and engage with Hannah on his own without me prompting him to. So if Hannah is sitting in my lap while we're playing with trucks on the floor, Hiram will look over and be like, Hannah, look at this cool monster truck. And then he'll drive the truck in front of her and hold it to her so that she can like reach out and touch it. And it's just so beautiful, first of all, but also like so relieving to be like, okay, he's not going to hate her forever. One day they will be friends. And this is his little effort of making her a part of his world because she rocked his world. So there's a lot of relief when your oldest starts to actually like the baby. When she's sad, he will run and find her lovey and bring it over and be like, here, Hannah, I'm here. It's okay. And try and make her feel better. You know, if Hannah, I don't know, if Hannah ever gets an owie, like we call it, he's like, oh, I need to look at Hannah's owie, make sure it's okay. So he like checks up on her and he's gotten really good at sharing his toys. We'll be in his room and he's like, I choose a toy for Hannah. And then he'll go and he'll choose a toy and bring it over to her and be like, Hannah, you can play with this toy. And yeah, it's just brought a very big sense of relief to know that like she's growing on him. and it's not going to be difficult forever, if that makes sense. And then the last thing on my list that I want to leave you with is the relief that comes when you realize you actually do have room to love another baby. This was something that I was so worried about before Hannah was born. Hiram was my world, you know, he was my little buddy and we did everything together and he got all of my attention and, you know, I was absolutely obsessed with him and I didn't have to share that love with anyone else besides my husband, but he's not my child. So I think that's different. So when I was pregnant with Hannah, I sat there and I was like, I just love Hiram so much. I don't understand how I can love another baby as much as I love Hiram, or I don't know if I have room. Like Hiram just takes up all of my heart. How am I going to have room? And I was so terrified. And then Hannah was born and I held her and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this baby so much. And I came home and I saw both of my kids and I was like, I love both of my kids. And that was so comforting to me to know that I did actually have room for two kids. And something I do want to say, if you are preparing for this transition, or maybe you're currently struggling with this transition, because, okay, this is a tangent. This is also something that I struggled with for a long time, is I remember feeling a little bit resentful towards Hiram because he was taking up time and energy and space for me to learn who Hannah is and spend one-on-one time with Hannah. And I remember always gravitating towards wanting to be with Hannah, especially in those first 6 or 8 weeks. I really only wanted to be with Hannah. I didn't want to be with my husband. I didn't want to be with Hiram. And I remember feeling so guilty for that. Like, why don't I want to be with these people that I love so much? I know that I love them. That's not a question. But why does it feel like I love Hannah more? And I realized that I was trying to make Hiram and Hannah the same. And I realized, first of all, they're not the same. They're 2 and a bit years apart. One's a boy, one's a girl, one's a toddler, one's a baby. And I was trying to put both of them in this box of, you're my kids, therefore I love you the same amount in the same way. And that's just simply not the case. I love Hiram for how bold he is and how stubborn he is and how intelligent he is and how creative he is, and how silly he is. And the fact that, like, I can communicate with him and I can play toys with him. And we get excited about seeing the garbage man and going to the car wash and, you know, throwing basketballs in the hallway. Like, those are the reasons that I have a relationship with Hiram and the reason that I love Hiram. And I love Hannah because she's my tiny little baby and we get to have baby snuggles and she's my daughter. And so we just have a different bond because she's my daughter and she is so beautiful and she smiles all the time and she is so chill and relaxed and easygoing. And whenever I'm struggling to regulate my emotions, if I hold her, it's just like someone waves a magic wand and my emotions are regulated, and that's who she is for me. And so we have a different relationship and I love her in different ways right now. And so realizing that I can not only have room to love both of my kids, but that I need to remember that I love both of them differently and I shouldn't put pressure on myself to love Hannah like I love Hiram or love Hiram like I love Hannah. They both deserve my love and they both have space in my heart, but the way that I show up for them is different and that's okay. And that's how it's supposed to be. And I didn't realize that until a little bit ago. So I've been struggling with this transition, but there is relief that comes when you figure out how to make that dynamic work. And when you realize that you have room to love both for who they are individually and just for the fact that they're your kids. So that's the end of my list. That's the end of the note on my phone. This actually went on a little bit longer than I anticipated, but I guess to sum it all up, in case it came across as rambling the entire time, if you even made it this far in the episode, I don't know. But if you're still here, I guess what I just want to leave you with is motherhood is hard. That doesn't make it bad. But motherhood is hard and each phase is hard. Being pregnant is hard. Being a brand new first-time mom is hard. Adding another child to the mix is hard. Being pregnant with a toddler is hard. Being a mom and finding time to be a wife is hard. Being a mom and finding time to be yourself is hard. It's all hard for different reasons. But I think that's the beauty of it, is that it's helping us become the best versions of ourselves, and it's helping us be the best person for our kids. And it's challenging us to become better, right? It's the idea that we can't grow unless we're put in an environment that forces us to change and adapt. So anyway, motherhood's hard. And if you have been if you have been struggling with feelings of guilt or doubt or frustration or resentment or anger or sorrow or whatever, please know that you're not alone. Please know that it is okay for you to feel that way. You need to accept that that's how you feel, and then bring those emotions with you as you learn to regulate them and make them a part of your story and your journey, but don't let them stay there. Don't let yourself stay in the negative feelings that you have. Find a way to move through them and with them so that you can truly find joy in motherhood, because it is the most rewarding and joyful experience. And we deserve to be happy and joyful. I also wanted to read you this poem from a book that Tyler gave me for Christmas. It's not the poem where like it rhymes. It's kind of, I don't know what kind of poetry it's called. It's just the poetry where it's got a flow to it. It's got a theme to it. Anyway, so the author is Emma Heafy. She's actually from New Zealand. She's Kiwi. And it like just makes it a little bit more special to me because I lived there for a year and a half. So I'm going to read a poem from this book that she published. It's called Dear Motherhood. Inside the book, she has how many chapters? She has 17 chapters, and there's poems for all different phases of motherhood. Let me just read you some of the chapters. Dear non-maternal woman, dear pregnant woman, dear postpartum mother, dear newborn mother, dear toddler mother, heartbroken mother, pending mother of two, new mother of two, stay-at-home mother, working from home mother, perfectly imperfect mother, overwhelmed mother, guilt-ridden mother, lost mother, lonely mother, mother-wife, and then dear motherhood. So she's got all these different chapters, and then there's a whole bunch of poems in each chapter based on what you want to listen to. And she just has such a beautiful way of putting into words what I can only feel and not describe. And I wanted to read one of the poems from this book to you just to kind of close out my thoughts for today. Because when I was struggling with these feelings this last couple months, I read this poem and it's kind of what helped me put things in perspective and feel a little bit better. So this poem is titled As You Are. And just so you know, this is the UK English, and I'm just going to read it as written. So if you don't understand a word, I'm sorry. Dear Mum, if I could tell you what I'm thinking, this is what I would say. This is from the child's perspective. You don't like the varicose veins on your legs, which worsened when you grew me. You wear pants to hide them, even when it's too hot. I wouldn't notice them if you didn't tell Dad about them all the time. I'm too busy trying to catch your smile. I love your legs just the way they are. You don't like that your arms are bigger than they used to be. Your arms are nice and strong so you can carry me each day. I can't walk and I rely on you to help me get to where I need to go. I love your arms just the way they are. I think your boobs are less perky than they used to be. Your boobs fed me for months and have been my comfort when I have felt worried or scared. I love your boobs just the way they are. You think your tummy is squishier than it used to be. Your tummy grew me for 9 months just so I could be here today. It's soft like a cushion and makes me feel comfortable when I'm cuddling you. I love your tummy just the way it is. You don't like that you can't fit into some of your old jeans. I don't know what size you used to be, and that doesn't matter to me anyway. I love you just the way you are now. You don't like the new stretch marks on your body. You say they are the reason you don't like going swimming at the beach. You sit wrapped in your towel and watching instead. Please come swimming. Please come and enjoy me as I am and let me enjoy you as you are. I love your stretch marks just the way they are. Mom, just so you know, you are the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. You are all I ever see, and I would not change one single thing about you because I love you just the way you are. I hope that poem hit you in the feels like it did for me. It's beautiful, and it's a really good reminder that, yes, we are struggling, but that doesn't matter to our kids. And if you need help figuring out how to move through your feelings, just remember that your kids don't care about what you look like. They just care that you're there and they love you because you're their mom. And if you want the book, this book has so many amazing poems in it. I seriously love this book so much. I will put it in the show notes so you can grab it on Amazon. And then I will also tag her TikTok handle because listening to her read her poetry in her Kiwi accent is way better than listening to me read it. And she, you know, is a poet. And so she has a cadence about it that just makes it beautiful. So I'll be sure to tag her and her book in the show notes if you want to, if you want to learn more, but that's all I have for today. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. I hope at least one thing that I said today helped you in some small way. We are in this together, Mama, and it's hard, but it can be hard and beautiful at the same time. And I know that from personal experience. Until next week, I hope you have a good rest of your week. I hope this was a little pick-me-up for you, and I will see you in the next episode. And that's the end of another episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, Mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.